Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Author and demographer Paul Moreland believes the biggest threat to humanity isn't climate change, the next pandemic, war or nuclear apocalypse, but a lack of babies. He believes our birth rate is plummeting globally to the point where there soon won't be enough young workers to take care of the ageing population. So can you financially incentivise people to have children? Should we be thinking harder about immigration? Paul Moreland has just published his book, No One Left, Why the World Needs More Children, and Paul is on the line. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
So your thesis is there are not too many people, but too few. You lay out the case for a new baby boom as pronatalist. Will you explain to us what that means?
Well, it means nothing more than thinking that people are good. Having people around is a good thing. That the humanity breeding itself or not breeding itself out of existence is a bad thing. And that a healthy society has a reasonable number of children. In an ideal world, and the world which most of us are living in, and increasingly large numbers around the world, that's by choice. I don't want people having children because they don't have access to contraception. I don't want people having children because they can't control their infertility. But in a world where increasingly numbers of people across the world can control that fertility, I think it's great if people on average choose 2 to 3 children.
Mm-hmm. The pronatalist rhetoric, and I'm sure you know, and this has been put to you in the past, it's the domain of the right, isn't it? People like Viktor Orban, Jacob Rees-Mogg, Elon Musk. Are you comfortable in that company?
Well, I'm comfortable in the wider company of pronatalism, and the idea that it's a right-wing thing is bizarre. I mean, the first person to be antinatalist was Malthus. The most searing critic of Malthus was Karl Marx. Communist countries, left-of-centre countries from Stalin, heaven forfend I'm comfortable in his company, but certainly not a man at the right. The East European People's Democracy, so-called, Cuba, lots of people on the left have been pronatal. Mao was pronatal. Macron is pronatal. So left, right and centre, it's not a left or right issue. And I don't understand why in much of the Anglosphere, Ireland, Britain and the United States, we hear it coming from the right, but we're tone deaf to the fact that historically and still today, it comes from the left and centre just as much, because people matter. Whatever your political point of view, if you want footfall in central Dublin, if you want kids in your school, if you want people supporting the pensioners, we need young people, regardless of what your politics.
So this is not about, as you say, politics or ideology. This is about having enough people to sustain those who are already here. Because we've heard so many warnings about the population bomb. You know, that there will be too many of us draining our natural resources and so on. But you say the opposite is true.
Well, that's 50 years out of date. The fact is that people were going through the demographic transition, lots of parts of the world, having very large families still, which was historic, and then a collapse of the death rate as people lived longer. That's wonderful. Big population rise. That's over. More and more countries, even quite poor countries, countries like Jamaica, countries like Thailand, are having way too few children to replace themselves. It's really going global. And so in Britain, for example, we've had this for a long time, and very complacently, without even properly appreciating it, we have taken huge advantage and massively benefited for actually decades, even hundreds of years, from the fact that Irish people had large families and they came over to Britain. They were poorer, they had large families. Ireland's not poor anymore, and it's not having large families, nor is Poland. And so we've been very complacent, thinking that other people would do our breeding for us. Those days are over.
Mm-hmm. Well, that brings me to immigration. Do you think that there is too much of a reliance on immigration to solve that problem?
I think there's a very strong argument for limiting our reliance on immigration. We've had mass immigration, and that, to an extent, has solved the problem for us. But more and more of the world is not having large families anymore. I mentioned India, you could mention Mexico, now hardly has a higher fertility rate than the US. They're getting richer, so the motives to come to the West will decline. The people still having large families are increasingly, so the place we'll get immigrants from in the future, are increasingly very poor countries with very low productivity, so they won't increase our economy in a very dynamic way. And I think it's very arrogant for us to say we're busy European cosmopolitans, you go and do the breeding for us in wherever, and we will then You educate your kids. Ghana, for example, we are skimming off their best care workers in the UK, even though we've got far more doctors per head than they have. So there's a sort of incredible cultural arrogance. And of course, there is a backlash against it. Now, you may approve of that backlash and be part of it. You may hate the backlash. But the fact is, you cannot assume that the populations of the developed world will forever be happy with rapid ethnic change. And then there are countries in East Asia like China, so big and relatively poor, with so low fertility, they can't possibly solve the problem through immigration.
Now, who's going to look after all of these children? Because, you know, women are expected to have the children, to do most of the caring duties, and also to be economic units, to be economically productive without proper supports. So something needs to change or the plan doesn't work.
Well, I think we need to move forward, as I always say, to the 2030s, not back to the 1950s. I'm very keen on women in the workplace, full rights for women. I was the son of a working mother. My daughters both got excellent educations, both went into the workplace, both had their first children before they were 30. I think it can be done. It needs grandparents like me to step up. It means dads to take a full sense of responsibility. It means legislation, which we've got, but we could have more, to ensure that, for example, paternity leave can happen as well as maternity leave. So we need modern and enlightened attitudes. It's actually countries with patriarchal attitudes like Japan, Korea, Greece, where women often get an education but are not enabled and empowered to enter the workforce and have children. They often have the very lowest fertility rates of all.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, here and in Britain too, there's such expensive and poor childcare. It's not available even for those who can pay for it in many cases. I mean, these are the very real barriers, aren't they, to having...
There are two huge issues economically. One is housing, both in the UK and in Ireland. The other is the cost of childcare. And I passionately believe we can and must do more on both of those fronts. Mm-hmm. But there's a big but. Where childcare is highly subsidised, Germany, the Baltics, where accommodation is cheap, parts of most of Southeast Europe, for example, fertility rates are still low. So yes, we must do those economic things. They will not fix the problem. There's a whole shift in our culture. And in Ireland, you think of a high fertility as a sort of old-fashioned, maybe very religious. We need to reinvent a higher fertility world, which isn't taking Ireland back to the Ireland of the 50s or 60s, where actually people are choosing in an enlightened way to have 2-3 children, not a ridiculously large number, but 2-3 on average, should be something we can reconcile with a modern, forward-looking and progressive society.
Is having 3 children considered an economic luxury now?
It's certainly expensive, but there is a paradox that as we've got richer societies, we find it harder and harder to afford children. And if you go around the world, the countries with the highest fertility rate are the poorest ones. So it can't be the case that as we get richer, it's not possible to afford children. It's about priorities, and it's about how we order our lives and how we order our society to put the creation of the next generation at the centre and not as an afterthought to all the other things we want to do.
Paul, it's a fascinating theory and a fascinating read, which is out this Thursday, the 4th of July. Paul Moreland's book is called No One Left. And as I say, you'll find it in bookshops on Thursday. Now we'll take a break before news.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.